Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
When can they fly?
Well, when they're ready to fly. They're, okay, so they're baby owls. They probably weren't.
Why do you have to put this pressure on this early?
They're nesting.
Are they achieving owls? Or what are our goals for these owls?
I'll research that.
I actually do think these are helicopter parents.
This is like the pressure that Bootsy gets at home from his grandfather every day. Is he crawling?
Here's all I do with Bootsy. I look at him in the eye and I go,
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then, we're live at Chatter. We've got a breakfast crowd today. We're open 7 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, for breakfast, even when I'm not here, which is going to be the case on Friday. Letting you know now, not going to be here on Friday. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue in Friendship Heights, in the District of Columbia. We had a very, very big night at Chatter last night with the pop-up selection Sunday show. We did very, very well. I want to thank Spotify, who sponsored everything. You can now stream our podcast and several others like it on Spotify. Just open the app on your mobile device or desktop, click on the browse channel, then click on the podcast section. Start streaming today to stay up to date on the NCAA tournament's latest news on Spotify. That's a small read, but they were very, very nice to do this. Much congratulations to people who are not here at the moment because they had a very difficult weekend. Elizabeth and Ron, who really, really got people in here on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, it was great, yes.
Big ups to them. Now, we did very, very well. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here, angered about everything that happened yesterday. Bill Isaacson has dropped by on a long weekend. And Nigel will run the board.
On his way out of town.
Nigel will do the news as well. Just some small cleanup here from Megan Callahan. Dr. Tony, we love the podcast and PTI. Keep it up. And these films are from our library, from Megan. Those must have been the sex films.
Oh,
right?
Good.
We also received from Pedro in Stony Lake, Michigan, the person I'm related to by living in sin, and I just started a vinyl sign business to occupy some time. After hearing your yoga story, I thought you might need a sticker for some yogic inspiration. And that says, Namaste in bed. Gary, yours says what?
Mine says, Namaste.
Oh, Namaste.
At home.
Right. I also took this practice sticker making time to make more stickers for you to give out to littles who visit Chatter. This is a La Cheesery thing. If they're enjoyed, I can send more to give out.
Chris, what
P.S. for
say?
The English major in you, our business name is the original Native American word from Michigan, Michigamma. It means land surrounded by water, and it's wonderful to type
with Michigas.
Autocorrect. Like Michigas, but Michigamma. Yeah. Wonderful with autotype because autocorrect, because they aren't able to do it. From Dylan De La Torre. I'm a millennial little living all the way across the country in San Luis Obispo, California, which is gorgeous.
Wish I was living there.
I listen.
Me too.
Isn't that where the Hearst Castle is, San Luis Obispo? Am I wrong on that?
Let's look.
I listen to your podcast every day at work. I love the mixture of sports, film, politics, and amusing stories you have. I have followed you from PTI, which I started watching religiously about 10 years ago, and closed in this letter or some Monopoly game pieces. He sent about 40. Now, you hope... I had about 50 pieces yesterday that I undid. Michael gave me a lot of them. You gave me some of them. Zero winners.
No winners.
Well, no, because now we're down to the next one is a winner.
Right. A million dollar winner?
Are you starting to fill out multiple boards?
Two. Got two boards. Nice. Just two boards.
You are right. Hearst Castle is in San Luis Obispo County, California. It's actually in San Simeon.
San Simeon is the
there.
Name
You've
of
been
the
there.
Town.
It's beautiful.
St. Monkey.
From Barbara Nash, I enjoy your show. I listen on the podcast. I heard you call for West Coast Monopoly tickets, and she, too, forwarded a bunch. Looking forward to more March Madness after enduring a long season with my team, Cal, having the worst record in school history. Cal women are terrific and fun to watch. That's David Aldridge's thing, too. The American
AU women won
yesterday.
Won. Yeah. Won.
There are not words to express how funny it will be when the contribution of Monopoly pieces from the littles results in you winning $1 million.
And I'll split it. Split it with whoever sent it. Just tell me you sent it. Everybody would tell me they sent it.
Oh, that's great.
If I won $1 million, that would be what, about $520,000 after taxes, something like that?
Yeah, like that. In your bracket.
Maybe a little more.
And you know what I would do? I'd buy this place outright, and it'll go right in the ground, and I'd lose even more money.
Nice.
That's what
smart.
I would do.
I'd pay Bubis, Williams, and Povich to go away.
Get out. Here's money. Out by 20
seconds.
I'm
not sure how to do it.
Michael grimaces.
This is the hardest day of the year for your body clock. You got to go to work. Everything feels wrong. By 4 o'clock, you're just going to want to die. It's the hardest day. Nobody in my house,
unless you live
by
in
nobody, I mean the dog, you know, at 5, I said, let's go. We're up. I've got work. And the dog did not. The dog left the room and actually went into the tile on the bathroom and lay down. Did not want to go out.
Opted for the cold stuff.
I had to carry the dog, basically, to get the dog.
When I got up this morning at 6:09, it was dark as night.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be that way.
Which is fine in the winter, but when you've gotten used to driving in and bright sunshine, and now it's pitch
dark. So we had this fabulous pop-up show yesterday with Gary Williams and Gary Braun and Michael Wilbon and Kevin Sheehan. And Kevin really knows stuff, so it was really good. It was a wonderful, wonderful podcast. I was particularly glad that Gary Braun was here in case somebody didn't show up. But, you know, it was good. The best game I saw yesterday, honestly, was the Penn-Harvard game. I love the Penn Harvard game. I had a rooting interest in the Penn Harvard game.
I had two rooting interests.
Yeah. Well, I actually had two rooting interests, too, because I paid the tuitions. But I was happier that Penn won because it was at the Palestra, and it made me happy. And they won in a fabulous way. At the end of the first half and the end of the second half, they were down. They came back. They won the game. Their reward is to play Kansas in Wichita, Kansas, which is not a reward. And a 16 seed, which I think is low for the Ivies.
Yeah, they normally give the Ivies 14.
I think that's a very low seed. We should get to all of the. Let's get to all the stuff. The teams that are left out, the teams that got in. A couple of teams were left out. USC is marginally left out. Notre Dame is marginally left out. With Bonzi Colson, they're good. And they're good enough to be in the field, but, you know, he got back late.
This is all great news for me.
I mean,
Middle Tennessee is left out.
You blame that stuff on Davidson, on the Davidson results of the world.
And Notre Dame, I believe, they identified as the last team out, right? So Davidson literally knocked them out.
They were supposed to be the next four out. Well, you know what's supposed to be the next four out? Syracuse. And Syracuse is in. So you're grinning like a Cheshire cat, but now you're not grinning anymore.
So, right, that really took down my
high. Oklahoma State, which beat Oklahoma 2 days ago and has the same record as Oklahoma,
is out.
And Oklahoma is in. Oklahoma lost 11 of its last 15 games.
But they won those four, Tom.
Yeah, and they're in. What?
By the way, about Notre Dame, this is from Coach Brian Polian, who is the special teams coach for the Notre Dame
football
team.
He's angry, I'll bet.
Well, this is he sent a bracket in for us. He said, boarding a Disney cruise in the morning with my son at sea all week, had to get this in. Expletive deleted that Notre Dame didn't make it. So he's very upset.
I hope he took his anti-norovirus.
Well, yeah, and he said,
Syracuse and Arizona State. Arizona State won 8 games in its league, a bad league. I'm going to give you a name of a school that you never would think I would get up and cheer for. Nebraska won 13 games in the Big Ten and didn't get in. They won 13 games in a better league, and they did not get in, didn't get a sniff of it, and Arizona State got in because the Pac-12 is awful. UCLA got in. USC has...
Although Arizona State did beat Kansas...
I believe the Pac-12 has 3 teams in, 2 of which are in play-in games. Which is not a very good performance. And then Arizona. But
so
I mean,
if you sit on the committee, and this is the philosophical question of the day, you sit on the committee and you talk about the body of work. And the body of work is inclusive of everything that you do. And Arizona State's wins early are very, very important. But when Oklahoma had big wins early. When you lose 11 of your last 15, and the only reason you're in is because you think that people will turn on television sets to watch Trae Young, I'm not sure that's a good enough reason.
In at a 10 seed.
They were clearly in.
I mean,
they were not a play-in.
Right.
They're in. And I'm not sure I get that.
I wonder if they don't think there's a chance that this kid can carry them to a couple of wins and sort of be a story.
Maybe.
Well, let's say they beat Rhode Island. They have to play Duke. I mean, they're probably not going to beat Duke. Yeah.
Vermont didn't get in. Vermont got beat by UMBC and didn't get in. And I thought Vermont had a real chance to get in. And as we looked at the brackets last night, the fact that Arizona and Kentucky play each other when they do, and the winner gets Virginia, that, again, Virginia in the round of 16 has had some of the hard in the last 5 years, some of the hardest.
A really bad draw.
And this, I think this is a bad draw because Kentucky, first of all, is rated at the beginning of the year top 5. They are every year, and they figure you're going to get good by the end of the year. Arizona's got this kid, DeAndre Ayton, who may or may not have gotten money. Well, we don't know.
And may,
but
and
here's what he's going
like
to get:
the number one pick.
He's going to get money because right. he's a great player. Is that fair to?
And a juicer beside him, by the way.
Trier.
Yeah, Trier.
Twice he's been popped for.
Looking at these four or five, so Virginia in the round of 16, should they get there, would presumably have the winner of Kentucky, Arizona.
That's hard.
All right, if you go down to the
conference champion, conference tournament champions.
Xavier is looking at, in terms of four or fives, is looking at Gonzaga, Ohio State, certainly a weaker couple.
Much easier.
Villanova would be looking at Wichita State, not the same Wichita State you're used to, and West Virginia, a team that's tough to prepare
West Virginia
for.
Virginia be tough.
Villanova, I believe, has the easiest draw into the
I actually think that West Virginia game be hard.
Clemson-Auburn for Kansas. I mean, I don't think they're even close.
They're not.
Clemson-Auburn.
What did Virginia do to engender this? From the committee.
Well, and how can you be? I mean, honestly, I would
they're the overall one.
And of all the teams I would not want to play in terms of style of play, and they would have to play. I mean, Cincinnati is hard to play.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you they know, it's like, the same kind of setup.
But, like it's, but don't you think, and that's where I think they, if Virginia gets that far, they're doing them a favor. Because I think that's the easiest of twos when the others are Duke, Carolina, and Purdue.
But the round of 16 opinion. Game is
it's ridiculous.
Really, yeah. really hard. That's a hard game.
Cincinnati is just for the I would agree they're in a certain less decorated conference, but they're 30-4. I mean, they're a good.
That's the American Conference.
It's the one with Houston.
Yeah, the American Conference, on which it's
and as Gary Williams pointed out last night.
Yeah.
When you're a coach and you play a certain style, the last thing you want to do is someone who also does
plays
what
your
you
style,
do.
Right?
Yeah, and that game, that game would figure to be played.
Did
in
you
the
watch?
40s.
Did you watch on TV? Did you watch the reveal?
I did not.
I didn't like the reveal.
No,
did
you like the front-ended reveal? I don't.
I felt they cheated us of the suspense of it.
Yeah, when they do the matchups, that's the whole point.
You know,
they were able this way, I guess, to spend and we didn't have the volume on because we were in here, but right. they didn't. They seem to spend more time on the brackets themselves, which I guess would have been interesting
from an analytical standpoint.
Reveal,
when you get to the last region and two teams are sweating out if they're the last at large.
That's why you watch.
That's exactly. Yeah. Michael, did you like the reveal?
I honestly didn't get a chance to see most of it because we were trying to put together our own
brackets
for you guys at the table.
Yeah, I just – and I mean no disrespect to TNT. I just didn't particularly like the reveal. I liked it the way it was, but – you know, those things change.
By the way, Penn has been bet down from a 16-point dog to now a 14.5 to 15-point dog. Not even the longest dog on the board.
Who's the longest on the board?
It's got to be UMBC against UMBC's Virginia.
UMBC's 22.5. Lipscomb's 20-ish. Iona's 20-ish. There's a number.
I mean,
when you say UMBC
Fullerton,
against Virginia, Virginia doesn't
win,
score
right.
a lot of
That's
points.
Actually not a terrible bet. If it's 22,
no,
that's
it,
a lot.
That game
45.
It could easily 70. Be 72-52.
Right. Right,
Gary,
I mean, they're not going to score
watch
a ton.
Out for Caleb Wood in that Penn Kansas game.
He hit three.
He's the kid that hit those threes in the last 3 minutes to bring him back.
So Penn, that was it. Was nice to see that for me. Did you have anything over the weekend?
2 o'clock
when you went?
Tip.
I love
by the
this
way.
Game.
I watched. You guys probably talked about it last night.
Oh, Chatter, we're open for these things. By the way, we're open Thursday, Friday.
Oh, that's a big day.
We have a Penn 2 o'clock game, and I think Duke is at 3:45 or so.
So 2:45.
2:45. So the Kornheiser household may be at Chatter with the baby.
You'll be hammered by dinner,
Bootsy.
Right?
Yeah. I like
Bootsy. You'll drive home.
I was amazed at how I had seen them play a little bit, but I was amazed at how good Virginia was in the championship game. They and for all the knock on them being able to score. The kid Kyle Guy, I mean, he's going at will. They're making a million threes. Now, I know North Carolina's not a great defensive team, but, I mean, they look great.
Well, I wouldn't say Virginia can't score. I would say, and what I have said, is that they don't score.
They scored plenty in that one, though, Gary.
Yeah, they did. They did. But typically they insist on eating 20 to 25
seconds. No, it's like watching Georgetown, John Thompson. They eat the ball.
I think it was Tony's. They're like a soccer team.
They pass it around
looking for a better shot.
So the teams I thought got hosed the most, Penn to play Kansas in Wichita, Bucknell to play Michigan State in Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to win.
I mean, that's really hard. I thought the easiest road for me is Villanova. The games you want to see in the round of 32, Butler-Purdue. You definitely want to see that. And Arizona, Kentucky. In the round of 64, you have Rhode Island and Oklahoma. And Loyola of Chicago, Miami. I think Loyola of Chicago can beat Miami.
So let me ask before we get out of here, because I know we're doing brackets most of the day.
We've got to go to Wilbon.
But I don't know, since I don't know the schedule today, we are going to talk about Tiger Woods at some point, right?
In the news section.
Okay,
I just didn't
Stay
leave enough time.
That.
Had Tiger won, we'd have opened with Tiger, but Tiger came in second. So we'll get out of here. We'll have Wilbon when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, which would be tournament seating. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing quite like being there in person at any of these regionals, or pods, as they call them. Not podcasts, pods. And SeatGeek will get you close to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals to help you get the most bang for your buck. SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, and consequently, you can shop for tickets. Golly, it's early. On SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy of theater. Best of all, listeners to this pod, not that other pod I mentioned, listeners to this pod will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You can do that at the NCAAs. Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. Enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
I read from the email introducing this song. Michael Schlesinger, once again from Singapore. It's fitting that this brand new, never-before-heard song is entitled Tonight, since where I am right now, it is tonight, to your this morning. We'll leave for another time explaining to you the moon phases along the equator. I am still here with the Motion Picture Association, protecting the movies and television programs that you love, like Lady Bird, and even those that you don't love, like the ones about mutes mating with fishmen. I just wanted to say how very appreciative I am for the airplay and for your show and all the great laughs and times it has provided to me. It's a very lovely letter, and it's a very lovely song. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He was here last night. He was eating chili. How was the chili named after you? Was it good?
Chili's always good, Tony.
All right, that makes me happy. We're going to go through brackets. Wilbon is our first bracketologist.
Oh, my God, the first.
Yeah, well, you're early in the morning. We're going to do it for 4 days.
This bracket, as we go through, will look different than last night's bracket.
Because
what happens is last night, I mean, I watched for about, and read for about, I don't know, 2 hours or so. And, you know, you start to, my philosophy of the bracket is, I try to win, and you don't win by picking chalk, and I don't believe in chalk anyway, even though there have been a couple of years where you've gotten, you know, two or three number one seeds now, only a couple. You got to pick upsets, and that's the only way it's any fun. So this will look different than last night, because there will be teams that I did not pick last night.
That that's fine.
Once I got a chance to listen and read, I go, okay, you know what? All these favorites are not going to win. And we talked all year, the theme of the season has been all those unranked teams beating even number, you know, top five teams. So that's the way I'm going.
It is a different exercise to the second the bracket comes out, and say then, who you got.
Yeah, no, yeah. I understand that. And we'll go through the bracket, and then we'll get to larger issues if we have time. But we're going to go through the bracket first. So we will start. Now, I will tell people that last night you ended up with Villanova winning the national championship.
Yeah, I might do that again.
I don't know. Okay, so let's go. Let's go start to the top, which is, what bracket is this? The East. The East bracket.
Let's Villanova start again.
Yeah, you got Villanova. I take it you're going to take it over, obviously, the winner of LIU or Radford, which would get you. Now, last night you vacillated on Virginia Tech, Alabama, because you love Avery Johnson. You went with Virginia Tech. Are you flipping out?
No, I'm not gonna change that. I'm gonna stay with Tech.
Right.
I'm gonna stay with West Virginia, which is still chalky.
Right.
Even though I got to take a couple of 12s to be reasonable in there, I'm gonna take Marshall.
You're gonna bounce Wichita State. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna bounce Wichita State, which I keep hearing. You know, Tony, you know how much I hate the BPI, right?
Yeah, but it seems to actually, in this case, be pretty smart.
It does.
I hate to say it too, because I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I listened to Billis explain it, and it seems to be pretty smart in this case.
Yeah.
So, all right, what about Florida against the winner of St. Bonnie's and UCLA?
I'm going to take UCLA.
You're going to take UCLA to beat Florida?
Yes.
Okay, UCLA. As we say in the trade, don't sleep on St. Bonaventure. They're actually pretty good.
No, they really.
Texas Tech, Stephen F.
I'm going to stay chalk there and take Tech. As you know, last night I took Butler.
Yes.
I'm taking Butler with a couple of games. I'm going to take Purdue.
Right.
And as we go back up,
take Villanova.
Know, out there, I'm still going to take Villanova.
Right.
You know, Virginia Tech, man, they do have that win over Virginia this year.
Yes, they do.
I'm going to take West Virginia, so I get back to chalk.
Okay.
I'm going to take Texas Tech, and I'm going to take, well, here's a one for me, Butler with Purdue. I'm not going to bounce Purdue. Last night I said Butler. I'm sort of convinced that Purdue is really a team that could get to the Final Four, so I'm going to stay with Purdue there. I'm going to stay with Villanova.
Over West Virginia. Right.
And I'm going to take Purdue. So I'm going real chalky.
You are.
I come back to chalk, even though I took a couple of, and I'm going to take Villanova.
To get to the Final Four.
To get to the Final Four, yeah.
I personally think Villanova has the easiest ride to the Final Four. That's me personally. I think the hardest is Virginia, but we'll get to that. All right, let's go to the Kansas thing. Kansas, I mean, Penn can't beat Kansas anyway, but they sure can't beat them in Wichita. I mean, they just can't. There's two things in this region, Michigan State in Detroit and Kansas in Wichita, where you go, okay, you know, what are you going to do? That's over. You're not going to do it. All right, what about Seton Hall, North Carolina State?
I'm gonna take North Carolina State there, Tony.
Okay.
I'm gonna take New Mexico State after I found out a little bit about them and the kind of defense they play to beat Clemson. So that's a 12 over a 5. That's not chalky. I will take Auburn over Charleston, even though I thought real hard about that.
Right.
I'm good. You know what, man? Syracuse shouldn't be in the tournament.
No.
They shouldn't be in the tournament, but I'm going to take Syracuse not only to beat Arizona State, but to beat TCU.
They always do this, by the way.
By the way,
they'll make the Final Four.
Arizona State shouldn't be in the tournament.
Yeah, Arizona State actually a short favorite in that game. Yeah,
two teams that shouldn't be in.
Okay. All right. You're going to have Michigan State over Bucknell, obviously.
I'm going to have Michigan State, and I'm going to take Oklahoma.
Even though they should not be in.
Using Gary Williams, I thought, supreme logic. That after all the tension of we got to win tonight, not doing it, they just take a deep breath and they exhale and they're able to.
They should not. They lost 11 of 15.
They should not be in the tournament more so than any team to me in the last 10 years.
It's unbelievable that they're in. And they're in because you sit in that committee and you say people want to see Trae Young and it's a television show. And that's the only reason. There's no other reason. All right. Kansas, NC State.
Yeah, I got Kansas, I got Auburn, I got Michigan State, winning a second game in Detroit.
Yeah.
Michigan State's an interesting team, Tony, because obviously their people, weren't they ranked number one at least for a minute?
Yes.
This season?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Michigan State and Duke. And on the bottom,
Michigan State and Duke in the round of 16 is a national championship game.
Yeah, it is.
Great game.
It is.
So it's a national championship game.
And I'm going to go Michigan State and Kansas.
Right.
And that's chalky, too. I'm getting too chalky here. I'm going Michigan State over Duke. So that's a 3-2. So at least I don't have a number one emerging there.
Well, you do. You have Kansas. Unless you
I got Kansas, but I'm losing to Michigan State.
Oh, okay. All right. So you have Michigan State.
Villanova and Michigan State so far.
All right. Let's go to the top left, which is the South. The University of Virginia is the number one ranked team in the country in the tournament.
And the selection committee.
Look what they've done.
The selection committee basically sat down and said, we don't really like Virginia, so let's sort of make it so that we can just torture them and get them out of here. The selection committee yesterday, when you look at some of the seedings, and Billis was pointedly critical of the selection committee last night, which made me happy. Because I thought the selection committee was either mean or stupid. And I really don't think they're stupid. I think they're just mean.
So here we go. First round, you got UVA over UMBC. What about Kansas State, Creighton? Who you like?
Yeah, I'm going back to Creighton.
Okay, because you went to Kansas State
last night.
Yeah.
I picked
Kansas State
last night, yeah.
Kentucky Davidson. Man, a lot of people think Davidson.
Did you see what the BPI did here?
46% said Davidson.
That's a wow.
Yes, it is. Where are you going?
I'm going with Kentucky.
So I would, too. I would, too, in this. Arizona, Buffalo, Arizona.
Tony, you haven't seen Ayton play this year, have you?
Yes, I have. I saw him once, and then I've seen highlights, and his highlights are stunning. He's the number one
guy. Tony, he is he's the best college big man. I know it's only 1 year. Like, Carl Anthony Towns isn't half as athletic as Ayton. It doesn't mean Ayton's going to be as good as Carl Anthony Towns. He could be a knucklehead. We don't know. There's too much stuff we don't know. Ayton is the most ferocious big man that I think, and you could say, what about so-and-so, what about so-and-so, and I may have to stop. But since Shaq.
Jay Billis
is
went on television.
Like that?
Jay Billis went on television and said, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who you think can be an all-star and they can be a really fine player. He said, this guy can be Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
That's his direct quote. This guy can be Wilt Chamberlain.
You have to see him. There's stuff he does that he is now separate. We talk about a top seven or eight sort of potential impact players at the top of the draft. This guy's starting to separate himself as number one.
So if he got $100,000, it would be cheap. For
yeah,
one
it would
year
be. That'd be a discount.
All right, so you got Kentucky and Arizona. You're going to take Loyola. You're going to take your homeboy team.
Yes, I am taking Loyola over Miami.
Right.
And I hate to do that to a coach we really love in Miami.
Yeah, but you're going to do it.
But I'm going to do it.
Tennessee? I don't like Tennessee.
I don't like Tennessee.
But I like Rick Barnes.
Man.
I do. I think Rick Barnes is
good. I don't like Tennessee, though, but I do. I think Rick Barnes. I'm putting down Tennessee on a line simply because of Rick Barnes.
I agree with that. Texas, Nevada.
This is hard, too. I'm going to go with Texas. Bamba's another interesting guy to be able to watch. And so Cincy, I'm going to take as well. And going back up to the top, I got UVA beating Creighton. I'm going to go with Arizona over Kentucky for this.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I mean, that's an even game. I'm just going to go with Ayton. And you shouldn't go with big man guards or, you know, even Shaq. Did Shaq ever get to the eight? I don't know that Shaq in three chances got to the eight, even though he and Stanley Roberts were formidable.
Yeah, I don't think that. I know they never got past the eight. I thought maybe they got to the eight once, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Loyola.
Big upset.
As an upset over Tennessee, which I said I don't like. I probably should take Rick Barnes. I'm being stupid.
Cincinnati.
And I'm going to take Cincy.
All right, so now UVA, Arizona. Tough, really tough 16.
Oh, God.
Really
tough.
I mean,
this is so, you know, why is Arizona a number four?
Don't know.
Look at the other number fours and tell me Arizona's not better than them.
Kentucky's the best number five. Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially
Tony,
Kentucky's the one. Yeah.
I'm going to go with UVA.
Okay.
I'm going with UVA, and I'm admitting up front that's heart over head right there.
And Cincinnati.
And I'm going to go with Cincy.
And then what? This is a tough game.
It's a tough game. I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
You're going to take UVA out right there.
I'm going to take UVA out there. I just think that they got a murderer's row, and I don't know.
Okay. All right.
And I know people think they're the best team, and I just think that they've been dealt this hand that is preposterous on some level.
Let's go to the bottom bracket, the West. Xavier, I assume you have in.
Yes, of course.
What about Missouri, Florida State?
I'm going to go with Mizzou.
Okay.
I don't trust Florida State.
And you got an upset in the next one,
South Dakota State, baby, Jackrabbits.
Okay, and Gonzaga, I assume?
Yeah, for a minute.
What about Houston, San Diego State?
I'm going to go with Houston.
All right.
I'm giving Houston and Cincinnati a big benefit of the doubt. Michigan, people love Michigan.
Yes.
I'm worried about the Big Ten 2 weeks.
I understand. But you think they'll beat Montana, don't you?
I do. I'm going with Providence. By the way, isn't that Michigan game in Boise? Isn't Montana playing in Boise? Maybe not.
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me.
And at the bottom, I'm going to go with Providence and UNC. I'm going to go with Xavier. I think Xavier, every time I've watched Xavier this year, they've just ripped somebody's face off.
They're good.
And they're good.
Yes.
I'm going to stay with an upset and take the Jackrabbits over Gonzaga, who I don't think are as good as they've been in the past couple of years. I'll take, Houston, Michigan. I'm going to take Michigan.
Now, last night you took Houston.
I know.
Okay.
I know. Yeah.
Take Michigan.
I'm going to stay with UNC. I'm going to go with Xavier to come back to reality. And I'm going to go with UNC. And I'm going to have UNC beat Xavier. So I got UNC, Cincinnati, Villanova, and Michigan State.
All right. Cincinnati, UNC.
I think UNC. I know I've watched them lose. I watched them in person a couple times this year. I watched them lose nine. You know, they've lost nine games or 10 games, one or the other. But I'm gonna still go with UNC, and it's unbelievable tournament experience for those kids who stuck around, Tony. So I'm gonna go with UNC over Cincinnati, and I'm gonna go with Villanova over Michigan State.
So you have a rematch of 2 years ago.
Yes, I do.
And who you got today?
Villanova.
Okay, Villanova. You know, this is interesting because UNC, nobody even knows that they're the defending champions. Nobody knows. Nobody remembers.
Really?
Yeah. And this would put them in the final game 3 years in a row, Mike.
Yeah, that's a throwback.
That's pretty good.
That's throwback.
Because you would
right
not think of UNC as a dynasty in this era. You would not.
No.
Three in a row
you
would
might
be,
have to at that point.
Three in a row would be a very big deal to me.
I think the thing that UNC doesn't want to do is, well, maybe they do want Virginia again. Maybe Carolina, because Carolina, I mean, that game was, you know, Virginia had an edge, but, you know, Carolina had also played three nights in a row.
Yeah.
Virginia had played two.
That's right.
I think that stuff sort of matters. And if they get them again, I'm thinking that, you know, Tony Bennett, he doesn't want to see a conference team if he can avoid them. You don't want to see Duke. You don't want to see Virginia. Carolina, but yeah. Man. Arizona or Kentucky in that third game. That's a
very hard.
That's
if you're Tony Bennett, you'd be happy to see Duke only because it means you're playing in the final. But yeah,
oh, that's right. Duke couldn't see them to the final. That's right. That's
but
right.
But to your point, I get the point.
You'd be fine seeing them. Yeah, of course.
All right, I'll see you later. Good job out of you. Thanks for coming last night, Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do news when we return. Yes, news when we return. Right. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser
Show. This is the Spotify ad. We're happy Spotify sponsored us last night and now sponsor us today.
Yes.
Everyone knows Spotify is the place to go to stream the latest and greatest in music, but you can now also stream podcasts. It's easy. Open the app on your mobile device or your desktop. Click on the browser channel. Then click on the podcast section. You can also stream on your smart speaker. They have all your favorites across news, entertainment, sports, and culture. So start streaming now.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You've only got one job to do. Marry your killer bears and raccoons.
This is Jason Fuse singing.
Yes.
As we hear the old man scream. Oh, sweet Jesus, let it be.
Luke Overbay writes, the robot revolution is upon us, and it's dumb, and the robots are littles. The lyrics to this jingle were automatically generated from an artificial intelligence model that I built and trained to create song lyrics. The bot learned by reading just lyrics from other TK Show jingles. The lyrics here are what came of it. Then Jason Fuse, our resident chief rock it scientist, took the lyrics and turned it into an original song. Since you are a fellow doctor like myself, I'd appreciate you sharing these research findings with your doctoral fellowship. It's bizarre. The whole thought of that is bizarre.
You can listen
to all of this at the end of the show, as you can listen to all original music at the end of the show. Michael, how do they do that?
You can send your music into the show jingles at tonyquinozershow.com, and it makes me uncomfortable that song turned out so well.
It's really good. Well, you got really good people.
Yeah, Jason Fuse.
I mean, Jason Fuse is great.
He's a terrific musician.
So you can buy Chatter t-shirts here for $12.
Just $12?
But on a higher level, we've got news.
We are happy to release that we have a new Johnny O promo code.
I'm so excited.
And this code that'll
take
us through this March Madness is going to be code HOFWOF.
HOFWOF.
HOFWOF. So go ahead and celebrate all of your tournament snubs and pick up some Notre Dame gear to celebrate what you will not be watching on TV. And the marketing director from Johnny O was so kind as to send us a few Georgetown pullovers so that we can give those to our resident Georgetown
The people
fans.
Who love Georgetown here. We have two of them.
Excellent.
Yes, we do.
We have Nigel and we have Chris, so that's good. All right, Nigel has news.
Yes, indeed. And this newscast is brought to us by the norovirus. If you'd like to get that, lick anything on a cruise liner. To golf, Mr. Tony, Tiger Woods appears to be back.
He
didn't win, but he came close.
Came very close.
And finishes in second
place.
Threw in
a bomb on 17, about 40 feet, and had to make another 35, 40-footer on 18.
40-footer, the hardest hole on the course.
Yeah, to tie Paul Casey, and couldn't do it, short right a little bit, but... Tiger at the end, Tiger said, I had a chance today. Now, we haven't heard that.
Yeah.
I had a chance today. That's a recognition that he was in it. He didn't win it. Paul Casey posted early. Paul Casey went 65, minus six, as did Sergio Garcia. And Paul Casey, interestingly enough, at the beginning of the tournament said, if I don't win it, I'd like to see Tiger win it. And then afterwards said, I sort of liked the way it happened. What did you think of what you saw?
For Tiger's round, he did not hit the irons as close to the hole as he needed to put it simply. And you could look to the putting and say, well, he didn't make any putts except for that bomb on 17, where he gives you a wry smile because he knows it's a little bit too little, too late. You saw this on number 8, where you see him about to make that Tiger charge. He has an 8-footer for birdie on a difficult par 3. He starts walking it in, and it lips out. He was a little bit off on line and speed the entire day. And you still saw him playing tactical golf, if you see what I'm doing there with tactical.
Oh,
it was
yes.
an atomic approach. So he was laying up. Even on 18, he lays up with the long iron to give himself what he thinks is going to be a longer approach where he can try and get the ball to release up the hole. Similar thing happened on the par 5 14th. He gets on in 2, but because he was a little bit using an iron instead of a wood.
He three-putted that hole.
Yeah, he did, but it was a severe slope up. He didn't get anything going. You have to be very pleased to think that he finished in that spot without anything going right. Now, this is the first time we really can remember that final round not going right for him, and maybe that's the new era, but he's got to be pleased. I think we as fans are pleased. Everyone's watching. Everyone's going.
Did you see the size of the galleries following him?
Justin
it's
Rose.
Like nobody else was playing.
Justin Rose said they were the biggest he'd ever seen. Not seen anything like it.
Can we focus
This is the Valspar tournament that nobody has ever heard of.
I don't know about yesterday's, but I read last night the ratings for Saturday were the highest ratings for a third round televised tournament in 12 years.
This is Tiger Woods.
And the highest ratings ever, the lead up on the Golf Channel was their highest ever. So the Tiger effect.
What did we think of his shirt? Because it didn't have a
no
collar, and I didn't
that
like
is,
it.
That yeah. is the new Nike.
I don't
that's
like it.
That's the new Nike style.
Nope.
They are running off the shelves
that's
right
a
now.
No for
I'm
Chris
not
Sousa.
A fan of it.
That's
I don't
a no.
think
Michael,
you can get on that collar.
Really but I've never liked his shirts because he wears shirts that are essentially painted on. He's going for the Chris
Sousa. I like
Lizzle.
That. Right. That's totally true. Do you have any extra smalls?
The lace look.
It's medium.
I just didn't like it at all.
That's
like,
their style.
Remember when Mike Bray wore the mock turtleneck on the sidelines? Larry Eustace.
Rory wears those too.
I just.
Rory how about Patrick too. Reed on the 18th hole to get out of the playoff with the 3-putt?
Right, that was.
And then going back to the wedge.
And he's better than that. He's better than that.
You're
Patrick
better
Reed.
Than that.
So,
do you anyway. Think he'll win a major this year?
I think he can
Patrick
win Augusta.
Reed?
You think he'd win Augusta?
Sure, I do.
I think he's probably the favorite for Bay Hill, wouldn't he be?
Well, that's not a major.
I know, but I'm just
Michael,
saying.
He can win Augusta.
He can.
I'd love to see him in Phil.
Changing his schedule fantastic. So that he was going to play Valspar and Bay Hill shows you his thinking, which is I can actually not only compete with these guys, I can win Augusta, and that's the course that gives him the best shot because he knows the greens. The course has changed a lot since he's been dominant, and we haven't seen him play new Augusta as well as he played old Augusta, but he's all in.
Yeah, he's on.
But it was a little different than 10 years ago because when he got that lead early, you would historically you would see guys fall apart.
He wins.
And you would see him make the charge, and he didn't do that. I mean,
they're
not
as afraid of him now.
The only guys that made the charge were playing a few groups ahead of him. So even Patrick Reed is in front of the storm. If you actually look at what the last group did, Justin Rose holds serve for the front nine, and then he falters because he started missing.
And the other kid was out of it.
He had no shot.
He had zero chance, the Canadian kid. Nice player. What else you got?
Jake Arrieta is coming to the NL East, but not to the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
He's going to the Philadelphia Phillies 3 years, $75 million.
Get that cash.
Not anywhere close to the $200 million
deal.
Kirk
Cousins money.
Yes, it really is, yes.
That's Kirk.
He joins Carlos Santana as the other big offseason acquisition for the Phillies.
I really thought that was the kind of money that the Nats could give because it's a shorter contract.
Sure.
I thought they could give that. I'm a little surprised. I don't know if they went after him as hard as I think they should have. I don't know. I got no answer for that. So,
I mean, the Phillies were putrid last year. But, I mean, I still
they're going to be fun to watch this year.
They should be fun.
In the NL, you want to watch the Brewers and the Phillies to try and shake up those divisions a little bit.
Well, there's another thing, too. If the Mets' arms are healthy.
Well, that's true.
If all their pitchers are healthy, they're very, very good. So
should make for an interesting. What else? Mr. Tony Martin Shkreli. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Shkreli.
Pharma bro.
Finally sentenced on
Hopefully
Friday.
To forever.
7 years.
Yeah, that's not enough.
The defense wanted something like, 18 months in time served, and the prosecution wanted 150 years, so they decided with seven.
Well, they should have gone with 175.
And this, of course, is the guy that was completely contemptuous of everything throughout the process, wept and apologized during the sentence.
A guy like him should do pretty well in the lockup.
I'm sure he will do fantastic.
Again, just to repeat, most punchable face in the world.
Absolutely. And there's a shakeup in the ESPN Monday Night Football booth, Mr. Tony.
Yep.
Obviously, we know the Gruden effect is going back to the sidelines, but it appears as if Sean McDonough is going to go back to college football, and Tessitore is going to be the new play-by-play guy. They'll have to find somebody to be the analyst with him.
They apparently
get the bus
threw,
ready.
I know somebody.
I'm not doing it. They apparently threw some bucks at Peyton Manning, who did not apparently, I don't know for a fact, did not want to do
$10
million?
It.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it.
Some
They've
bucks.
Got guys in-house that are very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're very good. They don't really have to go after somebody big, although there's talk that they would go after Brett Favre. I'm not sure that he has, all of that residue that he had closer to when he played.
Right.
And I'm not sure he even wants to do it. I mean, we haven't seen much from Brett Favre
except
commercials.
Wranglers.
Yeah, Wranglers.
Just commercials.
Yeah,
so
out a pair
really
of
know.
Jeans.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
The U-cut.
That's it. We're good. We'll get out of here. We have Old Guy when we return and Jay Billis. He's going to be the most authoritative voice that we have on the tournament because after this, it's me and Phil's mom. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is James Taylor, who lived a long time in North Carolina but was born and raised in Massachusetts. He was the first non-Beatles artist ever on Apple. And this is Sweet Baby James. It's a great song. Do you have stuff for us on this song?
I do. This was written, by the way, he considers to be his best song. This is written for the son of his older brother, Alex, who was also named James. And he sort of wrote this as he was driving down to meet his infant nephew for the first time. So there you go.
Probably wrote it in 10 minutes.
He probably did.
They all write it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Pulled over to a rest stop, knocked it out.
The original album was just called James Taylor. And he's sitting down. He's got the longest legs in the world. He's about 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah, he's a tall drink of water.
Program
Everybody in that family's nuts. Including him.
Yeah.
They're all crazy.
Yes.
I will get out of this now. Jay Billis, who has spent a lot of time in North Carolina after being a teenager in California, joins us now. I will say this. I said this earlier in the show, because we had Wilbon on, I did watch a lot of you. You probably have had less sleep than I've had, and I didn't get much. But we'll get to this later, because we're going to start on the right-hand side of the bracket. You said of DeAndre Ayton, he could be Wilt Chamberlain. That is just not something that people throw around casually, especially you. He's that good, potentially, to you.
Oh, yeah, he's ridiculous, and he's more skilled because he can really shoot it. I mean, I wasn't making a comparison that Will he plays exactly like Will Chamberlain, but that's the kind of impact that guy can have, where he's going to have two guys around him all the time, and he's the freak of this tournament, where nobody can stop him. He's going to get rebounds, and you can lob it up to him. He can catch it. You can have two guys between him and the basket. He can shoot over you, and he's got a beautiful stroke, and he makes them. I mean, he went 13 of 16 the other day, and he wasn't getting layups. He makes tough shots. This kid he's the real thing. And the more I've watched him throughout the course of the year, like I love Marvin Bagley III at first more than anybody. But the more I watch, the more I go, you know what, Ayton's better, and he's the real deal.
All right, well, we're going to take it from the top. We're going to take it from Villanova. Just tell me any upsets, including 8-9s, that you have in the first round in the East.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alabama can beat Virginia Tech, but Virginia Tech shoots it at more spots, so I think Virginia Tech's going to win that game.
Right.
Murray State's a possible because they've got, they can really get up and down the floor, but I think West Virginia is more physical. Marshall is capable of beating Wichita State. I don't think they will, but they're capable of it. They got a kid named John Elmore that averages close to 23 a game. That led Conference USA in scoring. And they got another kid named C.J. Burks who averages right at 20. You got two 20-point-a-game scorers, and Dan D'Antoni, who is Mike D'Antoni's older brother, coaches Marshall. You know, both the D'Antonis played there.
Yeah.
And you know, Marshall's in Huntington, West Virginia. So they've had a history of beating people. They're pretty good. They're not great, but they're pretty good. And then I don't know that this is even an upset, but the 7-10 game, Butler is good enough to beat Arkansas. Arkansas is more talented top to bottom, but they don't play that way. And some games they look great, and other games they don't. And I tend to think that Butler could wind up winning that game. They got a kid named Keelan Martin is their best scorer. He can get 30 in any given game. They got a point guard named Kamar Baldwin who's really good. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Butler win.
Plus, you want to see – everybody wants to see in the round of 32 Butler-Purdue. Everybody wants to see that,
maybe
right?
Not Purdue.
I mean, that's an Indiana Civil War. It's great. It's a great idea to see.
Yeah, that would be great, and I have that. That's in Detroit, and you know, look, I think Purdue's going to get through that bracket and play Villanova, but because those are, I think, by far the two best teams. This is kind of, I call this the deficiency bracket, the East, because outside of Villanova and Purdue, everyone else has a hole in their team and a significant one. So I tend to think that Villanova and Purdue are going to get through there. It's not that they can't be beaten; everybody can be beaten. But they're going to have a really bad night to get beat in this bracket.
All right, for the sake of people who are following this, West Virginia, Wichita State, I assume you'll take West Virginia?
Yes. West Virginia, they don't shoot it great, but they really do defend very well. And they got a kid named Sagaba Kanate that's a great shot blocker. And another really good offensive rebounding team. They just, every once in a while, they get where they don't make shots. And I know it drives Bob Huggins crazy just sitting there watching it because you know they practice like everybody else and you know they go through these droughts where they can't really score from the perimeter.
Florida, Texas Tech. It doesn't really matter because you have Purdue advancing. But who does Purdue play?
I've got like Florida's got a bunch of guards that can really shoot it. So if they're not shooting great, they look either like the best team or the most average team in the tournament. I've got Texas Tech beating Stephen F. Austin, who's pretty darn good, but I still think Tech's going to win because they're healthy now. I think UCLA could wind up beating Florida because UCLA's got a kid named Aaron Holiday, who's Drew Holiday's little brother, who was probably the second best player in the Pac-12 this year and didn't get a lot of credit for it. And I'm sort of taking a flyer on
okay.
UCLA there. But you know, like I think Texas Tech is very, very good. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them get beat in the second round and not make the second weekend. But it'll, if it's not UCLA, I think it'll be Texas Tech.
But we'll give you UCLA because that's a team that a lot of people said shouldn't even be in it, and you've got them going all the way to 16, which is good. We'll go to the bottom half of the draw. I've said this a number of times. I mean, the Penn-Harvard game was great to watch, and I know your teammate coached at Harvard. That was a great game to watch. To reward Penn with a 16 and make them go to Wichita to play Kansas is not the nicest thing in the world. It's really not.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. I haven't seen as much of Penn to say should they have been a 15 or 14 or all that. I only saw him play yesterday, and they're good. But, you know, I was thinking that my buddy Tommy Amaker was probably looking around going, yeah, thanks for the neutral site game at the Celestro.
Right.
but Kansas should drill them. The Jayhawks are better, and they shoot it. But they're a team, too, that if they don't make shots, they look very average at times because they don't rebound very well. But they're so hard to guard, and they're in a great rhythm right now. Seton Hall, NC State, I think Seton Hall's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team, but I've got them winning. I think New Mexico State's capable of beating Clemson. It just depends on how Clemson shoots it. They're a little bit like Kansas, that they've got three really good guards. One, Gabe DeVoe, Marquise Reed, Shelton Mitchell, those three guys, they can really shoot it. If they don't shoot it well, they can get beat. And New Mexico State's a very good rebounding team, and always has been. But they haven't won a tournament game in a long time. You know, we tend to say every year, hey, New Mexico State, they can really rebound. Watch out for them, and then they get beat in the first round. I think Auburn will beat Charleston, although Charleston's not bad at all. I tend to think that winner, that Arizona State-Syracuse game, is going to beat TCU. Because Arizona State's really explosive offensively. I think they feel like they've got new life getting in the tournament because I don't think they believe they're going to get in. And same thing with Syracuse. And I'm a big fan of Tyus Battle at Syracuse. They've got some offensive deficiencies, but they're capable. And it's just they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde too.
So who are you going to take in that? Do we take Arizona?
I've got Syracuse beating Arizona State, and okay. then beating TCU.
Okay.
Yeah, but TCU is the better team, obviously. But I think Syracuse can certainly win that. And then I've got Oklahoma beating Rhode Island. I think Oklahoma is going to take this as new life, and they're playing somebody different. I think they're going to be fine there. And then Duke, I've seen Iona a bunch. Duke will beat Iona. They're not as good as they've been.
So
in the
you've
past,
got both Hurleys out in the first round. That's interesting. Both
yeah,
Bobby and
yeah,
Danny in the first round. All right. Kansas, Seton Hall. Is that the upset or no?
Kansas, Seton Hall. No, that's not an upset. Okay. Kansas will beat Seton Hall.
All right.
Or at least they should. But, I mean, Kansas has had some problems as a one or two seed in the first weekend. But I think they'll get through to the second weekend, and that's where the wilder ride comes.
Who do
and
you
I think
like?
Auburn will make its way through, I think. Although Auburn has been a little shaky. But they're a three-point shooting team, undersized, guard the heck out of you. And they make it difficult to get the ball inbounds. Bruce Pearl and Bob McKillop at Davidson are the two best at making it really hard to run an out-of-bounds play. So you could see them get a five-second a call or two in their games early on. And I think they'll beat Clemson and move on to play Kansas. And then I think Michigan State will play Duke on the bottom part of the bracket. That'll be a rematch of a game they played in November where Grayson Allen had 37 and Duke wound up beating Michigan State at the Champions Classic.
Do you think they'll do it again?
I think Michigan State's going to win this one.
Okay.
I think Michigan State's better than they've gotten credit for, and I think the committee screwed up in the way they seeded
That's
Michigan
a national
State
championship
Arizona.
Game in the round of 16. It is. Michigan State, too.
It is. It's a Final Four caliber game, yeah. And they're both very good. I don't think Duke's been hasn't been as good as I expected. I thought they were going to be better, but they're still when they're really good, there's nobody they can't beat. But then when they're not clicking, they're capable of being beaten by more teams than I expected. I thought they'd be a little bit more powerful. They've had a great year, but they're not as good as I thought.
Do you have Kansas over Auburn?
Kansas over Auburn, yeah, and then Kansas, Michigan State, and I think Michigan State will win that just because they're deeper, bigger, stronger, and they can rebound. And that's the one area where Kansas has a little bit of a problem is they don't rebound well because they're so small. They basically play four guards, and they spread you. But I think with the depth that Michigan State has and how well they defend, I think Michigan State will come out ahead in that one.
So you have Michigan State in the Final Four with Villanova in the Final Four, yes?
Right, yeah,
okay.
So
all right.
One of the three, right?
We'll go to the other side, in the UVA side, and this point cannot be made often enough. I mean, it is really tough in your second game to get either Arizona or Kentucky. That's really hard for the number one overall seed, right?
Yes. Well, it wouldn't be in their second game. It would be in their
third game.
That would be a Sweet 16 game.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling this the black and blue region, the South, because of all these teams that guard. That they're so good defensively and physical, and you know, a couple of pack line teams, and whether it's Tennessee or Cincinnati, you know, Kentucky's good defensively, but Virginia is by far the best. They're playing UMBC, Maryland Baltimore County, that's coached by Ryan Odom, who's Dave Odom's son, who was an assistant at Virginia under Terry Holland back in the 80s. So I don't think UMBC has any legitimate chance against Virginia.
No,
I think they're going to get hammered. And then Creighton, Kansas State. I like Kansas State there because they're a little bit better defensively, but Creighton can really score. And one of the interesting things about the game is the best player on Creighton's team is a guy named Marcus Foster, averages about 20 a game and has had a really good career. He transferred to Creighton from Kansas State.
Oh.
And he was a little bit of a problem child for Bruce Weber. I can't say how well they got along. I remember Bruce had to suspend him once, but you know, that'll be interesting. I know there's got to be a lot in the back of his mind going, I'd like to show my
sure.
old team
sure.
I'm really good. And he is really good. But I think the defense, if Kansas State is healthy, that's the only if. They've got a kid named Dean Wade who was out, and then Barry Brown, who's one of their best players, got hit in the eye in the Big 12 tournament. So I don't know exactly what their health status is. But I'm still going to put, you know, I value the defense there a little bit more, so I'm going to put Kansas State through.
Will you take the upset with Davidson and Kentucky?
It's difficult not to, because you've probably seen Davidson play,
yes,
and you know Bob McKillop, how good he is.
Yes.
They got a kid named Peyton Aldridge, who's about 6'8", who is about as skilled as any player his size in the tournament. Yeah, he had 45 in a game against St. Bonaventure. He's at 37, 35. He's really good. He's a good passer, good cutter, good shooter, inside out. He can post. He can rebound. He's one of the best all-around players in the tournament. Then they got another kid who's a freshman. He's 6'5", named Kellen Grady. He's a point guard. And he's had over 30 a couple times in games. And so they're legit. I still think Kentucky's too athletic and too powerful. But I wouldn't put it past McKillop to win this thing with, when he's got players of that caliber, he can do something with them. But that's asking a lot to beat a team that's super athletic like Kentucky. And then I think Arizona will beat Buffalo, and Kentucky Arizona is a game that should not be played in the first weekend.
That's right.
Like that's a waste of everybody's time. And it reminds me of what they've done to Kentucky with Wichita State in the past, where you go, what are you doing? Like, do you guys even watch these games? And you hate to say that because, I mean, these people on the committee, they put in so much time, and they're such good people, but they screw up every year.
And it's a different group. Idiots.
It's a different group. But they do. They screw up all the time. And, you know, like, one of the things, Tony, and I don't mean to go off on this tangent here, but one of the things that drives me crazy about this is, you know, this is not rocket science. And they come up with this quadrant system this year and spring it on everybody. And it's not like the masses are paying attention to this during the regular season. They found it. Most people found out about the quadrant system just now.
That's right.
And they're going, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? What happened to top 25, top, because that's all it really is. They tried to weight road games in it. And so road games are already weighted in the RPI, and they base the quadrant system on the RPI, which is a flawed measure. So it's the quadrant one is a home win over a top 30 team, a neutral win over a top 50 team, and a road win over a top 75 team. So basically, winning at home against Virginia counts the same as winning on the road against Buffalo,
which is insane.
I mean,
no, that's insane.
Yeah, and then the committee will say, yeah, but we make a deep dive and we scrub the resume, so we know all that stuff. And I go, then why do you need the quad system? You're confusing everybody. And then when they get crazy results, you got all these coaches that are blaming it on the quad system. The mid majors are saying this is unfair.
Yeah,
you know, we're the little guy. And they've got a little bit of a point, and then you have these nut job results where you're going, on what planet is Michigan State the ninth best team in the country? You know, that doesn't, and you've got Arizona 16th, and how do you have Oklahoma lose every game they played seemingly after Christmas, and they're in the tournament because they won games in November and December. And you're like, well, we look at the full body of work.
No, you have to look at trends. You have to. You have to look at
who you are at the end is important.
That's who you are.
Like, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're supposed to be trending up toward the end, not trending down.
Exactly.
And, but anyway, my rant over. Let's go.
All right, Loyola. Are you going to take Loyola over Miami?
Yeah, I've got Loyola over Miami. They got a kid named Clayton Custer, who's a really good player, transferred in from Iowa State. Another kid named Dante Ingram. They beat Florida at Florida back when Florida was playing its best. I think in December. And then Wright State is good, but they're not as good as Tennessee. I'm picking an upset in the Nevada-Texas game because I'm picking Nevada, and they're higher seeded, but Texas is probably the better team.
Okay.
But I think Nevada will win. They've got major conference players. They got a kid named Cody Martin and Caleb Martin. They're twin brothers who transferred in from NC State. They got another kid named Kendall Stevens who's made like 115 threes and shoots 44% from three, transferred in from Purdue. And then their best player is a kid named Jordan Caroline. So they're
good.
Eric Musselman coaches them. Yeah, Bill Musselman's kid. And they're very, very good.
All right,
so I think Nevada will win that.
Who do you have UVA playing? Kentucky or Arizona?
I got Arizona. I think Arizona will beat Kentucky because they're so much. They're bigger. They got a superstar on their team. So you know, could Kentucky win? Of course they can. But I think Arizona will win, and then Virginia will beat Arizona because Virginia's. I haven't seen a team like Virginia in I can't remember anybody in the years I've been doing this that that gives you the kind of feeling you're going, you know what, you can't get them to play your way. They can be beaten. I saw them get beat against Virginia Tech. I was doing the game. But they got beat because they took dumb shots and they played totally out of character. But they haven't done that since, and I haven't seen them. I've watched just about every game they've played, either in person or on tape. They're the real thing.
Loyola, Tennessee?
Tennessee should win. Usually after a double-digit seed pulls an upset in the first game, they can't follow it up.
And I assume you have Cincinnati? Then,
yeah, Cincinnati, just because they rebound, defend, and they're a little bit better offensively this year. They got a kid named Gary Clark, another named Jacob Evans, both of whom are very talented. So I think Cincinnati's a little bit of it's not your old school Cincinnati, right? Bob Huggins team where they had superstar talent, but it's not the teams they've had there the last few years that they did everything on defense and rebounding and tried to choke you to death. Now they can actually outscore you.
Will they play UVA and be beaten?
Yeah, I got them playing UVA, and I think Virginia wins. This is like the best team that I remember Tony Bennett having was 2016, where they kind of, I don't want to say choked, but they gave away a big second-half lead against Syracuse when Syracuse put a press on, and they should have won. That was a Malcolm Brogdon team. I think this team is actually a little bit better, so I think they're gonna go to the Final Four.
Take us through the West bracket. I'm sure you have Xavier, so tell us about Missouri, Florida State. Who do you like there?
I like Florida State there just because Missouri is a little bit banged up, and they're bringing back
Porter.
They're bringing back Michael Porter, which I don't think is the best idea for anybody. But, South Dakota State's capable of beating Ohio State. They got a kid named Mike Daum, who's a 25-10 guy. Big guy that can shoot it. A little bit, unorthodox. He's not the best athlete, but he can really play. But I think Ohio State will win. I think Gonzaga will beat UNC Greensboro. It's a good three-point shooting team, but they're not good enough to beat Gonzaga, in my opinion.
Do you like Houston?
And then I think Gonzaga... I do like Houston. San Diego State is playing great. Brian Dutcher coaches them, who used to be an assistant to Steve Fisher, and he was with them. He recruited the Fab Five, and he's really good coach. Kelvin Sampson's got a good team.
Yeah,
it's amazing what he's done there in a short period of time. But I think Michigan will beat Montana, and then Michigan will beat Houston. Then I got Providence beating Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a little bit schizophrenic at the guard position. They're really good up front, but they're not as good at the guard spot. They're very young, so I think Providence will take advantage of that and come out ahead. And Carolina will beat Lipscomb. Lipscomb's got some good players, but they're not good enough to beat Carolina unless Carolina, totally tanks, and I don't think that'll happen. I think Carolina's a different team. They're smaller, but they're good, and they rebound really well being so small. It's kind of an anomaly, but they're really talented. Where do we go from here?
So now Xavier, we go Xavier, Florida State. I think you want Xavier there.
Xavier will win that, and then I think Gonzaga will beat Ohio State. Gonzaga is 30-4, and so I think they'll win that. And I think Xavier will get beat by Gonzaga. I think that'll be where Gonzaga pulls one of these Gonzaga things where they're not the better team, but they wind up winning this one.
Right.
And Michigan, North Carolina is a rematch of a game earlier this year. Carolina beat them pretty bad because Michigan let them get up and down the floor on them. And I think Michigan's way better now than they were then. The only thing about Michigan is they don't shoot. Their point guard can't make a free throw. His name's Xavier Simpson, and he's not a good free throw shooter, which is a little bit unusual. But I think Michigan will win that, and I think Michigan will go beat Gonzaga and go to the Final Four. I think they're really good. And they've come further than any team I've seen from the beginning of the year, and they are they defend and rebound better than they have under John Beilein, going back to his team that went to the title game in 2013. This is the best defensive team he's had since then.
Will they beat UVA?
No.
Okay.
Virginia's going to go to the final, and,
right?
I think. I mean, if they shoot it horribly and don't make anything, can they be beat? Yeah. But it's going to take a really patient, really good team. The one place where Virginia can be beaten is a team that can really rebound can get them. So if they played a team like Michigan State or something like that, Cincinnati could do that on the glass to them, but I don't think they will. That's the one area where I think they could get hurt is on the glass. And then Michigan State, Villanova. For some reason, I like Michigan State in that one. Michigan State's in the tournament where they don't have to play teams they know, I like them a little bit better. So I think they'll go to the final and play Virginia, and that's where the rebounding I think will be the difference. Like I had Michigan State as the preseason number one team and the preseason national champion, and I don't know what this is, Tony, but it seems to me, at least in my experience with this, my judgment at the beginning of the year is better than my judgment at the start of the tournament. I pick more winners at the start of the year than I pick at the start of the damn tournament. And I don't, maybe I just got too much information or something, and you're uncluttered at the beginning. But it's amazing how accurate we are at the beginning, and then the sort of the wild ride of the season takes us off path, and we wind up. You know, you look back and you go, "Hey, wait a minute! I said this team was going to be really good at the beginning," and your judgment at the beginning tends to be a little bit more sound.
So I assume you will take Michigan State to win, and I would just ask this one last question. It is one thing to be in Detroit where you're going to be protected from the onslaught of the questions about Larry Nassar and your program and on and on and on. That protection will not be there in San Antonio. Is that something you would consider that they might just get inundated to the point of being off their game?
No, I have thought about that. I don't think it's going to be an issue because they've gone through it for so long. And Tom Izzo has handled those press conferences as well as anybody could expect. They've got a lot of questions that are coming at them about the investigations, and there are two separate issues the way I see it. One is the way the university handles Title IX sexual misconduct cases with athletes. And the other is the Larry Nassar case, which couldn't be more different as far as areas of responsibility. I think to expect, Tom Izzo to have any sort of impact on what goes on with a physician that handles gymnasts is a pretty big leap for anyone. But the other stuff, getting questioned on it, you certainly understand it. But, the idea that those questions are capable of being answered at a press conference or a basketball game, I can't imagine, going forward. So he's handled it pretty well, and I think he'll continue to do that.
Thank you, Jay. Well, I hope you'll be on PTI this week or next week or something. Thank you.
Anytime you say, I'm always ready.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Jay Billis, boys and girls. That's really good. I know that's more thorough than anything we're going to have.
It's a lot.
He knows the names of a lot of players.
Well, Digger used to know the first names sometimes or the last name sometimes.
And it also seems like everyone's son is a coach at some university.
Well,
Bill Musselman's son is a coach? Yeah, I didn't know that.
All the Hurley kids, obviously.
Yeah, them I knew.
All right, so we'll take a break. We will come back with an email and a jingle or two. That's Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. She ran by me and she pulled down her jeans. Jumped into a lifeboat that became a latrine. In the blink of an eye, an old guy started to sway. Then I saw everything he'd eaten at the buffet. I was in search of a good time. Chose a petri dish on waves, yeah. I must have been out of my damn mind, yeah. Caribbean cruise, now my bowels feel lonely loose. And the toilet will not flush. The aroma's robust.
I incomparable Robert Byrne, in Lakewood, Colorado.
I think I delivered on Friday night. We had dinner with a bunch of couples, and I delivered maybe a 15-minute rant on cruises, like to the point where people were like
even more off-put by than usual.
Yes,
by you?
Yes. My wife scolded me afterward. I was like, these people.
And again, Coach Polian, good luck on your
cruise. Yes. Before we get in the mailbag, let me thank Michael Wilbon and Jay Billis. Let me thank the sponsors today, Spotify and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review.
And a programming note, Phil's mom will indeed be on the program tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Wow. Yes.
We want to say happy birthday, Steve Hansen. This is your from your son, Jeff Hansen, who adds left, right, left, right, left, right, 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 left, right, right.
That seems right.
From Papa Thiam in Paris, France, and I hope I pronounced that correctly. As a resident of the most romantic city in the world for the past 15 years, I feel qualified to state unequivocally that Dr. Kornheiser would be spectacularly effective if he were to find himself back in the dating game these days. Quote, because I'm taking Carol of the most romantic words ever uttered in response to the question, why aren't you going first class? As kids say today, he got game. That's definitely taking romance to the next level. From John Greenwald in Okinawa, Japan. I'm a loyal little station with the Marines in Okinawa, Japan. I listened to all the doctors with their various advice yesterday, but as an internal medicine physician with an interest in palliative care, I wanted to weigh in a definitive verdict. The painful truth is that your leg is gone and it's not coming back. Please let me know if you need Prozac to help you with the grieving process. Thank you for a taste of home in a far-off land from Lieutenant John Greenwald,
I have a saw in my car, Tone.
Yeah. Steve, in Wichita, yes, when Trump meets Kim Jong-un, you know they're playing golf. And considering Kim's father shot all birdies with five holes in one during a round, that's a pretty tall order to beat with the Trump foot wedge. I can see the two of them riding in the car trying to distract each other as they throw golf balls off to the green. As Trump drives his cart on it. Oh, God.
That is
Winter
his
rules.
Greatest move. Driving on the green is his greatest, his finest hour. Right.
Rarely Durrett or Duray in Melville, Long Island, Melville, New York, which is on Long Island. Brian Clark's omelet, Wilbon's chili. These are what for the menu here. Windhorse chicken parm, Jeannie's bacon wrapped bacon, Super G's cheddar, Nigel's fish and chips. Well, yeah, I don't really get it either. Liz Clark's smuggled granola. So Liz's pomegranate sherbet.
It's a wonderful.
Andrew Overheiser in Flagstaff, Arizona. When several fellow medical professionals wrote in to help with your knee on Thursday's show, I felt a call to try and help as well, but I'm a gastroenterologist, so the best I've got is the colonoscopy prep that I can drop in the mail. Enjoy yourself.
It's also useful.
From Dustin Griffey in Irvine, California, dear Hof Waff, which is our code, I was taught the NIT stands for Never Include the Hoyas, Edith Saliza. Are you not in the NIT?
Oh, hell no. We're 15 and 15.
From Bob Fabizak in Germantown, Maryland, not far from the Mr. Tony Petco, and that's true. Apparently, Stephen F. Austin is the 58th seeded team in the NCAA. How pathetic is Binghamton that they didn't get into the tournament, and yet somehow Saks Fifth Avenue is playing in March? I like the thought of Saks Fifth Avenue. Don Ames in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Despite what anybody says, the biggest losers from Selection Sunday are not the schools who didn't get in. It's the fact that we won't hear Phil's mom say Baylor or Marquette in her Buffalo style when she makes her picks this year, which is such a shame.
Interesting to see if she has Buffalo taking out Arizona. 13 and 4 in that week one.
Shad has a haiku. Wine with your national brackets or national holiday. Who got screwed Monday? From Mike in Burke, Virginia, who signs it Wah-Hoo-Wah, I realize you will continue muttering darkly on Monday about UVA and how they can't score and what will they do when they're behind by 15 points. That's your move. So on behalf of the UVA fan base, let me simply say, UVA somehow, despite being unable to score, as you've often told us, put up 71 on the Tar Heels, 64 on Clemson, and 75 on Louisville. In case the math is too hard for Gary, none of these numbers are in the 50s. And two, in all three games, UVA scored more points than the other team, which is kind of the point. Hmm. I like UVA. I want to see UVA do well. I really do. I think their draw was unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
From Matt Vogel in Coventry, Connecticut. Am I to understand that baby boy Bootsy is still working on crawling? Could it be that his high percentile on his height and weight is weighing him down? Because my dwarfish little 10-month-old Veronica, still at the 25th percentile for height and weight, has been walking for almost a month now. Or is it proof of the adage that in order to walk, you must first crawl, and in order to crawl, you must first be held by all of your grandparents? If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chaputzvah to do it.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See the light shine.
got one job to do. Mary, you'll kill the bears and raccoons. As we hear the old man scream, oh, sweet Jesus, let it be. Let it be. Well, I hope that he reads mine. If it's smart and funny, where are we with the purple line? Will it be sunny for the Yorkie?